Hare Krishna. So today we will speak on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with Srinivas Acharya, because he was part of the first Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan party, and today is his disappearance day. So because this is a lead-up week to the marathon, I thought this would be a suitable occasion to say a few words on this matter. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Yeyatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As people approach me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. Yet even if the Lord is approached by someone with devotion, to intensify the devotee's love, the Lord may not immediately reciprocate fully. In fact, the Lord is truly reciprocating. After all, a sincere devotee always prays to the Lord. Please, help me to love you purely. Therefore, the Lord's so-called neglect is actually the fulfillment of devotees' prayers. Lord Krishna intensifies our love for him by apparently separating himself from us, and the result is that we achieve what we really wanted and prayed for, intense love for the Absolute Truth, Krishna. Thus, Lord Krishna's apparent negligence is actually his thoughtful reciprocation and the fulfillment of our deepest and purest desire. According to the Acharyas, as Lord Krishna began to speak this verse, the gopis looked at one another with squinting eyes, trying to hide smiles breaking out on their faces. Even as the Lord was speaking, the gopis had begun to realize that he was bringing them to the highest perfection of loving service. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirishesha Shrine Adi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Galadar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this verse is speaking about the pain of separation. And Srinivas Acharya's life, they say it's a lifetime in separation. But I sort of twisted it into service in separation. Srinivas Prabhu, before he became an Acharya, his life is very kind of lots of ups and downs. So it's something that we can very much relate to. So he was predicted, just like he was, it was predicted that Shyamananda and Narottam will also come. And all the Vaishnava community was eagerly waiting for them to appear, and so they will start to unfold their pastimes. So his first Shiksha Guru, we can say, was Narahari Sarakara. And Srinivas was, he had all the good qualities, and immediately he was recognized as a great devotee that will do great things in the future. So when he approached Narahari for initiation, Narahari was, for those of you who don't know, he was an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. So he was very close with the Supreme Lord. And he knew that Srinivas wasn't meant to be his disciple, so he just nicely send him towards Vrindavan, so he would take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, as it was predicted. So Narahari Sarakara sent him to Puri to spend some time with Lord Chaitanya, and in this way he will get some association, he will get trained. And just as he was about to set on the journey, his father died. So he had to stay back for a while. He was still in his teens at that time. And as he was taking care of all the rituals and taking care of his mother, setting up the new system of the household, some time passed and he learned that Chaitanya and Nityananda already left. So he was really sad, because that was his intention, to go there. And even though this happened, he still embarked on the journey. And when he arrived to Puri, he met Gadadhar Pandit there, because Gadadhar was still there. And he immediately recognized Srinivas, and they spoke, and Gadadhar said, "Yes, Lord Chaitanya told me about your coming, and you're going to study Srimad Bhagavatam under me." So Gadadhar Pandit had this copy of Srimad Bhagavatam that was really beaten up. He got it from Lord Chaitanya, and when Lord Chaitanya was reading 10th canto, he was crying so much that the letters became smudged. And then Gadadhar Pandit was reading it, and he added his own quota of tears. So it was really difficult to study from that copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Gadadhar Pandit sent him back to Bengal, because Bengal was known for the scripts. So they were the scribes, yeah. So they were copying. This was like the printing press of the time. They were copying the scriptures. So he sent him back to bring a new copy from Narahari Sarakara. And so Srinivas went. And as he embarked on the journey again, he had a delay, this time on his own accord, because he wanted to see all the pastime places in Puri. So he went around, and it took a while for him to just leave the town and start going towards Bengal. And just as he secured the copy, new copy, he learned Gadadhar Pandit was gone, because he was feeling such great separation from Lord Chaitanya. And he couldn't bear anymore. And he actually urged him, "Okay, you have to come back quickly, because I don't know how much longer I can hold it here." And so Gadadhar was gone. And Srinivas was again lamenting of his ill will, ill fate. So he spent some years back home studying the scriptures. And then as Janava Mata was visiting Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami urged her to send Srinivas to Vrindavan so he will study under him and Sanatana Goswami. So when she came back, she again spoke with Narahari, and she told him that Srinivas needs to go to Vrindavan urgently. And Srinivas went. And again, he had to visit devotees on the way. So he went to all the places, pastime places around Mayapur, or now Navadvip. Then he visited Vishnupriya, so the house where Lord Chaitanya stayed. Vishnupriya was there. And then he went to visit the house of Advaita Acharya, so Sita Thakurani was there still. And then at the end, he visited Janava Mata. And in all these places, they were very glad to receive him, and they already knew everything about him, and everyone was urging him, you should go to Vrindavan soon. We don't know how long Rupa Sanatana are going to stay. So please, go. Leave immediately in the morning. So he was going like this around, and he stopped at... what is this devotee who had the whip, Jai Mangal whip? Abhiram Thakur. Yeah. So he stopped at this place also, and Abhiram Thakur immediately pulled out his whip, and he gave him 3 strikes on his back. So this was a magical whip that bestowed love, pure love of God, if you were hit by it. So he just started hitting him, and then his wife stopped him. She said, okay, that's enough. So, and then at the end, before he really went, he stopped at his home place again, and just to say goodbye to his mother. And then Narahari, who stayed just in the neighboring village, he said, okay, now I'm really concerned. You really have to go now. You spent enough time around here. So he went, and he was traveling. And as he was approaching Vrindavan, it was... So now different sources give different dates or time scales. So whatever it was, he was really close to Vrindavan now. And as he was resting, he heard some pilgrims that were passing by discussing. And he heard them say that Sanatana Goswami passed away 4 months ago. He left. So he was devastated. He didn't even reach Vrindavan, and now this another heartbreaking, heart-wrenching news came. So just as he was about to enter Vrindavan, he was in Mathura. This was his last stop in Vishramghat, where Krishna took bath after killing Kamsa. He overheard some brahmanas conversing, and they were saying, yeah, Vrindavan is empty now, Sanatana is gone. Raghunath Bhatta is gone, and now Rupa just left 3 days ago. He left us, so Vrindavan is empty. And he couldn't believe it. He was like, oh my God, this is too much. He was crying, and just as when he learned that Chaitanya Nityananda left, they appeared in his vision, divine vision, in his dream, and they assured him, it's okay, you just go to Vrindavan, you spend time with Rupa Sanatana, it's okay. And now again, both of these two, Rupa and Sanatana, were gone. And he was lamenting, and he didn't know what to do. And again, Rupa and Sanatana appeared in his vision, and they pacified him, and they said, it's all right, you just go. Jiva Goswami is waiting for you. So when he reached Govindadeva temple, he just passed away. I mean, passed out. And so he was laying there, and it was already night. So Jiva and a few of his associates came with the torches, and immediately Jiva saw, okay, that's Srinivas. So he took him, and in a few days he took him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So the whole thing started to unfold, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated him, and he started studying under Jiva Goswami, because Jiva Goswami was the most prominent scholar of that time. And there was already, Narottam was already there studying for some time under Jiva Goswami. And then after a while, Shyamananda also joined them. So there were 3 of them. And Srinivas Acharya is an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. Narottam is an incarnation of Nityananda's ecstasy. And Shyamananda is incarnation of Advaita Acharya's ecstasy. So they were like second generation pancha tattva kind of thing. So, yeah, just as Lord Chaitanya came and he instructed the Goswamis about the devotional service, then the role of the Goswamis was to put it down in writing, to expand on the teachings and sort of secure them for the generations to come. And then the role of these three was to spread it around, to bring the teachings all around the villages and towns and teach them and have their own disciples that would deliver so many more living entities, so many more souls. So first they had to study, and it is said that it's going to be like inner realization for the future mission that's upon them. And anyway, they were like expert bhajanandis, right? They were, all three of them were able to go so deeply into the meditation that they were engaging in service in their Nitya Lila. So that's practically perfected level of bhajan. So in this way, they were also the most qualified to become expert Goshtyanandis, so preachers that would spread the teachings. And it just happened so that it was Kartik, month of Kartik, and it was nearing towards the end. And then Jiva Goswami planned to arrange organize a huge festival, just like we had this festival here that was organized by Antaranga Prabhu. There was a big festival, and all the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan were invited, all the sadhus, and even Krishnadas Kaviraj and Raghunath Das came from Radhakund. So in this feast, the purpose was to assemble all the Vaishnavas, to please them, to make them feel satisfied. And then when the whole thing commenced, he had a talk, Jiva Goswami, and he spoke about this, how Lord Chaitanya gave the teachings, and then the Goswami, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, put them down, and now it's time for the teachings to spread, to go around. And this was the reason they were assembled, so they would give blessings to Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda. And this was really sort of relatable. When they were presented with this plan, when Jiva Goswami presented them this plan, they weren't willing to go. They were like, no, we don't want to do that. We just came here to serve our Guru Maharaj, to serve the Vaishnavas and to study the scriptures. So why would we want to leave this place? It's the perfection of life to be in Vrindavan. And we're not willing to go. So it's just like us also. When we have to go for the marathon, we don't feel like it, right? It's kind of like... And so, but they said, we accept our duty. This is our duty. And we don't mind to go. Because doing this is the best service to Lord Chaitanya and is the supreme religious principle to execute this order. So they ask for blessings and their gurus also. So Lokanath Maharaj, Lokanath Goswami, said to them, this is the perfection of everything I ever taught you. And then Jiva Goswami arranged. He made arrangements. So all the Vaishnavas gave blessings and they were ready to sort of pack up and go. So Jiva Goswami had a rich disciple in Mathura. So he asked him for the cart, huge cart. It was pulled by four big
strong oxen, and he gave two drivers, two oxmen, how do you call those guys? And 10 guarded guards, so armored army men, so they would protect the books. And so they, yeah, then they took darshan in the morning of their farewell. They took darshan of Madan Mohan deity, of Gopinath, and then at last of Govindaji. And this is where they were packing the cart. So they were bringing the books, and these were all the books of the current time. So all the Vaishnavas were present, and they were sort of helping. So whenever a new book came to be loaded in the cart, in those huge trunks, Jiva Goswami would hold it up and he would say, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then devotees would go, Jai Hari Bol, and then he put it in. The next book, Ujjvala Nilamani, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Shatsandarva, like this. And the devotees were very happy, and Jiva Goswami personally took care of it, and he was wrapping them in waxed cloth. So this was high quality protection for the books. And he locked up all the crates. And the crates were also sort of strengthened by metal. So it was really good arrangement for the books to not be damaged in any way by the elements. And then they embarked on the journey, and as they went towards Mathura, devotees still walked with them for a while, Jiva Goswami also. And they were all really happy to see them go, but they were really sad to go. That they have to go. And when they reached Mathura, Jiva Goswami arranged for this customs official to give the best travel documents, so they would be let by when they reach any sort of tolls or whatever is there. Yeah, they would show these documents and they would be able to pass through with no problem. So we can see Jiva Goswami was very great in organizing the whole thing, and he wasn't just like a philosopher somewhere up there, but he was very sober and he knew what needs to be done for this thing to be successful. So as they went on the journey, they decided to go off the main road through the Jharikhanda forest. And as they were going there, they were feeling ecstasy because they were remembering how Lord Chaitanya was passing through when he went on his preaching tour. And this is the same thing as many of us, either we did books or we went on Harinam or something, was like we visited some places with devotees, some program was there. And we can see when we again go to these places, automatically we remember, oh, this is where we did this, or this is where this person took the book and he was so enthusiastic, or we had this crazy Harinam, we were going down this road like this. So this is exactly how we should also remember when we are in Vrindavan, or they were remembering when they were in the forest. It's the same thing. It just sort of springs out automatically because we had these experiences in these places. So yeah, many devotees can tell you, especially those who were doing book distribution door to door, and then they go to the same village, to the same town, and they can say, this house, this person wasn't so interested, they just took the flyer, or this house, they took this and that book, they gave this much donation, like that. It's very much alive. And so this was, as they feel separation from all the exalted Vaishnavas, it's pretty much kind of like we also feel the separation from Srila Prabhupada, right? Srinivas was missing out on all these great, illustrious personalities, and we also just missed the great personality Srila Prabhupada. There's a lot to sort of learn from this, or feel the same feelings as he was feeling. Even though he missed all this, he still had association of very much the most prominent Vaishnavas that were there at that time. And we are the same. All the cream of the Vaishnava world is here, right? Especially in the UK, in the Bhaktivedanta Manor, everyone is coming here. So we have this association, the best that we can get, the best that it's available. And they were studying under these personalities. And we are also studying under our authorities. Srinivas was getting so much association of Lord Chaitanya's associates, and we are also getting association of Srila Prabhupada's associates. So we are just there, but not really. So it's just like bittersweet. They accepted this mission as their duty, and like they were in the army of Lord Chaitanya, and we are also like that, right? Many times we can hear this comparison. I remember when I spent my first night in the temple. This was 2014, and then we had the morning program, Mangal Arati, and then we were chanting, and it was time for darshan. So we also, I came into the temple room and devotees were already lined up, and it was dark, and it was this anticipation just before the curtains open. And as soon as the conch went off and the curtain opened, devotees just fell flat down. And I was just looking at it, and like the bright light came, and Govinda Madhipurusham prayers, and incense, and the bell. And I just thought, wow, man, this is the real army. They are serious. They're not joking around. They are giving their life for it. Nowadays, when we come for darshan, we're like, yeah, okay, it's darshan again. We don't sort of see it in that way anymore. At least I don't. But that was really, this is a really vivid memory that I have. I just understood, yeah, this is spiritual army, this is serious, we're going to do it. They gave their life for it, that's it. Just as we are studying under these illustrious personalities, like Maharaj yesterday said, that we have to see the suffering of the material world, and we also have to see the beauty of the spiritual world. And in this way, we will be able to give something to them. There will be this impediment for us to do something. And he also said, the excitement outweighs the danger. I like that very much. Because we are also kind of like that, right? We are not really sure how to do it, how to go there, out there, and expose ourselves, because we don't know as much as Maharaj does, or we don't know what to do when we're going to be asked some difficult questions or something. But the excitement of it, because we hear so much of what Sankirtan is, and those who do it, they are glorifying it so much, and they're like, this is the best thing, you should try it. It's, I don't know what to say, but it's like, you have to experience it yourself. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. Let me see what they're talking about. So this duty, just like they acted out of duty, we also act out of duty. We go out even though we don't feel like it. Many do, of course, but me personally, I don't really sort of, I'm not really like, yeah, let's go. But then after a while, you sort of start to develop the taste for it. What I liked also was that this friendship aspect, when they were out there, they were really good friends. And also when they were embarking, Jiva Goswami told them, and others also, like, okay, Srinivas, you're the most senior, so you have to take care of these two. And then Shyamananda was kind of like their junior, and they had to take care of him. And they developed this deep friendship. And I remember when we were doing books, we were going, this was the first day of the marathon, I think it was 2018. And so it was me and the Yalo in the van and Nitai. And we had to drop Nitai in the first settlement, first town or village, you would call it village probably. So we dropped him off, and as we were driving away, I just looked in the mirror, and he was just standing there with the huge pool trolley of books with his jacket and in dhoti, tilak. And I just thought, wow, he's like 18 years old. He's not going to school like all the others do. He just decided he's going to spend a whole month giving out books, and he's fearless, and he doesn't care what is going to happen in this place, and he's okay with it. He has this conviction, and I was so impressed. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Even though we did so many times books together, we did a few marathons before that, I was really impressed. And just as they were lamenting that they had to leave, they have to go, one day we were distributing books with Gadadhar Pandit, and at one point it was really cold. It was like kind of like slurp, like snow and rain mixed. Yeah, and it was windy. It was bad, and the books were not going out so well. So it was kind of miserable. And then he said, what did I get myself into? I was so cozy and perfectly fine at home. Like, why did I have to do this? And it was kind of in a joking way, but there was some like seriousness to it. And it was funny how they were also thinking like that. Srinivas and Shyamananda and Narottam. Why do we have to do it? And being in Sankirtan, it's many times devotees mentioned this fear of missing out. When I spoke with our temple president, Ananda Prabhu, he said, this is the main thing why devotees live, because they feel this, they have this fear of missing out. They feel that they should be somewhere else. They shouldn't be at the class. They shouldn't do the service. They shouldn't be in the association of devotees, because there's something out there that is happening and they're missing it. Years are passing by and they're not getting qualified for their future plans or whatever. So this is something that's really sort of putting pressure on devotees. And my experience is when we're out in Sankirtan, I don't even have a slightest tinge of this fear of missing out. I feel that all the seniors, all the Vaishnavas, they are perfectly happy with me being there, and they don't even sort of question me being there. They just are super happy that we are out there, that we are doing it, and everything is fine. You can see it many times when you meet devotees from other countries or you travel around, and they ask, oh, so what is your... This is very funny, because nobody sort of takes interest in you in any other way than when they meet you, they say, first question is, so what is your service? Right? It's always like that. So you have to come up with something. You have to present, okay, what is my service? So if you say, yeah, I'm doing Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, they're all like, yeah, that's good. You're a good devotee. There's not even a question. If you do Sankirtan, that's it, right? If you say something else, like I'm a Puchari or this and that, immediately like they start to think, why is this guy not distributing books, right? You can feel it. It's not like out there, but you can feel it. It's there. Vaisheshika Prabhu said, some devotees were asking him about Govardhan Parikram, right? Because they are doing this reading marathon in Govardhan every year. And then Vaisheshika Prabhu said, you know what? If you just go out, take some books in your hand, and you just step on the pavement, just hit the pavement, it's 100 times more auspicious, 100 times more beneficial than doing Govardhan Parikram. So just imagine. And this is the theme of today's verse also. This Vipralamba and then Samboga eventually. So we are very much separated from the nectar, from the shelter, from our bubble of Krishna consciousness, of bubble of Sattvaguna, which is very controlled environment. And we go out there and it's tough. We're suffering, right? But then this divine nectar, it comes. Sooner or later, we can start tasting it. And then we become like mad. And they don't understand it. Right? Other devotees, they don't really understand it. Those who don't go out, they never really know what the Sankirtan devotees are talking about. And I remember many times we were out, and at the beginning I was like, oh my God, we have to go out again. And you remember when you're out in the marathon or in traveling, it's always like that. Somebody is pushing in the morning, okay, eat fast, pack up, our books there, is your jacket ready? Okay, we meet in a car in 15 minutes, we have to go. And then there are some devotees that are dragging. They're like, yeah, I have to take a shower, or I have to find my gloves, or my hat is gone, or I have to pack the books still. So it's always like this battle. And you can see that they are kind of like subconsciously trying to jeopardize the plan of the day. And then I'm also like that. I like to do that because there must be some rasa, right? Some exchange in the beginning of the day. But then when we're out, the things just shift. And then many times it happened that devotees were already calling me and like, they're like, why are you not at the meetup place? We're here, we're waiting for you. And I was like, just wait, I just have to do this one more apartment building, just 10 flats more. I'm just coming down now. I'm at the top. You have to wait. I have to finish this. I'll be quick. And then you feel so much nectar, you cannot stop. And you would just like to continue. It's like this wave of mercy. And you are just like surfing on top. And you don't want to stop because they are waiting for you. You're like, just wait. It's okay. We have some time. And so this is how Krishna is actually really satisfied. This famous verse, Sado Hridayam Aham, Sadunam Hridayam Tvaham, Madanyate na Jananti na Hamte Bio Managapi. So the devotees are in Krishna's heart, and in the heart of the devotees it's only Krishna. And devotees don't know anyone else but Krishna, and Krishna doesn't know anyone else but them. And we are getting all the blessings of the Vaishnavas for this marathon. And we're also getting the blessings of the deities. We can see Radharani has her arm out like this. And we all know this is for blessings. But what kind of blessings? Is it for to pass the final exams, or to to land a good job or to get a nice partner. This is what devotees are asking mainly, right? But actually, the secret is that this hand of Radharani is for Sankirtan, blessings for Sankirtan. And there's this famous verse in Adi Lila. Yandra Pranadana Nityananda Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Bhakti Vinanahi Janeanya. So it says that those devotees who gave their life, this is very funny because many devotees think, okay, either you have to choose, you're in Gaura Lila or Krishna Lila. You're a Krishna devotee or Chaitanya devotee, right? This is there. And the thing is, yeah, if I'm a Krishna devotee, Radha Krishna devotee, then we do deity worship and we read all these books and we are making nice ornaments and we are having a good time, good fun. And then if you're a Lord Chaitanya devotee, then you're austere and you're preaching and you're out there and you don't really care about all these like nice arrangements and you're just like pushing on the movement. But actually, the secret is, as this verse is saying, that those devotees who gave their life for service of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are the ones who just have bhakti for Radha and Krishna. This is what everything that they have, devotional inclinations towards Radha and Krishna. So that's the secret. It's combined. Hare Krishna. So if somebody would like to add something or some questions, comments.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thanks so much for the nice class, Prabhu. I'm sorry, I just had a quick question on based on the verse, so it's not completely related, but I was just wondering, because in the verse it says how Krishna sometimes doesn't reciprocate or respond, how we expect it to kind of intensify our love. And I was just wondering, it's kind of two questions. One question is, does Krishna do that differently for different individuals? So does he know exactly how to respond or not respond for certain individuals? And the second question, or second part is, when we might not feel that reciprocation, which we expect or long for, how can we make sure to actually use that to actually deepen our connection, not get maybe frustrated or something like that?
Yeah. So first answer is, of course, because we are all individuals, so obviously it's an individual thing how Krishna deals with us. And the second answer, I think that it's depending on us, actually, because Krishna is ready to wait. So we decide how much how do you call that? Immersive experience we want to have, like how much blood or sweat or tears we want to shed before we apply ourselves properly. So either we just... It can be very sweet and we just sort of long for Krishna in our heart and we nicely follow our authorities, our guru, the Vaishnavas, and we practice sadhana bhakti properly. Or it can be a little bit more illustrative, so more immersive experience by us going away from the association of devotees and experiencing the kleshas of the material energy. Anyway, when the time passes, we're gonna come back sooner or later. But then we're gonna see, okay, few devotees that were there when I joined, they are still there and they are so much ahead of me because I had to spend so much time to realize these certain things. So I think the best is that if we just sort of take shelter of devotees and try to get as much help from them as possible. And in this way, we're gonna progress much more than we would on our own, just battling our mind with our own devices, like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Harihua, thank you for the nice class.
Sorry.
What I would like to... So where were they going, Narottam Das, Yamananda, and the Srinivas Acharya? What was the destination?
Can you maybe just speak a little bit louder? Because
okay, so where were they going, Srinivas Acharya, Yamananda, Narottam Das, Thakur, with all those books? Was it Bengal or?
Yeah, so they were going to eastern part of India, to Bengal, to distribute the books and to make more copies and to spread the movement. But this is another story for another time. We just focused on this because now we are also just preparing for the marathon, like that.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.